the president of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Jones III.
Faithful love or loyal love is disappearing from our society. Why do so many marriages end in divorce? Because faithfulness is no longer a part of people's character very much anymore. If a man's not faithful in his relationship to God, if he doesn't show care in his faithfulness as a man of God in a Bible-believing church, in the responsibilities of the believer to the Savior and to his local church, and to the evangelism of the lost, and to the giving of his gifts, if he's not faithful to the Lord in the use of his money and his time, if he's unfaithful in keeping the requirements of the workplace, the responsibility he has to his employer, if you cheat in the quality of your work, if you're unfaithful in these little things, there is no reason in the world to think you will be faithful lifelong to your marriage partner. Because faithfulness in marriage is a part of the faithfulness that exists in the character of a man. And if it's not in his character, it won't be in his marriage.
In a day when society has disregarded the sacredness of marriage, God's people need to be reminded that marriage is a picture of the relationship between the Lord Jesus Christ and His church. In today's message, Dr. Jones III, the president of Bob Jones University, reminds us of the example of loyal love that the husband and father should provide to his wife and children. If you have a Bible at hand, you'll want to turn to his text, Proverbs chapter 5. Now here is Dr. Jones.
Would you please open your Bibles again to Proverbs chapter 5. The title of this message is Mandate for the Married Man. And I hope that doesn't cause you ladies or you single guys to switch off your receptor and let your mind go somewhere else. Most everybody in this room, in all likelihood, will someday be married. It's not God's will for everybody. It's God's general will. It's not His specific will for everybody. But the vast majority will be. We live in a society that does not value the sacredness of marriage. I mean, it's everywhere. That's several messages worth of content right there. If you're going to have a successful marriage in the sight of God, you're going to have to really work at it. Because society doesn't give you any support in having a successful marriage. The Bible gives you abundant support. The requirements of God for it, the provisions of God for it, are prolific in the Scriptures. And I trust that there's not a one of you who, if you do marry, does not desire to have a God-honoring marriage, because marriage is a type of the Lord's marriage to His church, His relationship as the bridegroom to the church, which is His bride. When Christian marriage is not reflective of that, it gives all the wrong impression about what the relationship of the church is to its bridegroom, the Lord Jesus. The pattern is broken, and the Lord is dishonored. Besides that, when marriage goes sour, it destroys all chance of the happiness that God intended for man and woman to have when He ordained the marriage relationship. Everybody who calls himself a Christian, and even the unsaved, because the marriage principles work for the unsaved too. God didn't just create marriage for the saved, but for all of mankind. And when the marriage goes bad, everybody suffers. The two marriage partners, the children, and if you're Christians, the church. In Proverbs chapter 5, the whole chapter deals with an admonition of a father to a son to bow to the wisdom and understanding of the father as it relates to his instruction to the son about illicit sexual relationships and about the marriage relationship and infidelity in marriage, beginning at verse 15, and that's where we're focusing our attention in these messages. Very simply, from verse 15 to the end of the chapter, he's saying, husbands, you must be a one-woman man. He says that marriage is monogamous, marriage is between heterosexuals. The running waters, the freshness of marriage must be kept there. That children are to be sired by no other woman other than the wife. That children are to be counted as a blessing by the fathers and the mothers. That the wife and the husband can rejoice together lifelong in the relationship and in faithfulness to each other. And that the delights of sexual pleasure are God-given and God-ordained and restricted to the bonds of marriage. God gives us in this passage the standard, the norm for a husband. Any other kind of a husband who functions outside of these verses is a substandard husband, an abnormal husband. If this is the standard and the norm for the husband, and he's not this, he's substandard, he's abnormal. I think it's very important that the girls listen carefully to this, because you don't want to get stuck with a substandard and an abnormal husband. It will be a lifetime of nightmare for you. And any man who would set out in life as a husband and desire less than to arrive at the standard and the norm that God gives for successful marriage, any husband who would not want to be that kind of a husband is guilty before a holy God and ought to be ashamed of himself for destroying the joys and the happiness that a wife is entitled to. Point number one, God intends for a man to be a one-woman man. Point number two, the creator of sacred marriage is observing marital conduct, the husband's marital conduct. The creator of sacred marriage is observing the husband's marital conduct. Look at verse 21. The ways of man, the ways there means the moral character, all of his doings, what he is and what he does. The ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. And he pondereth all his goings, or he watches all his paths. It is not only the children that are observing the conduct of the father and the mother. God is observing the man's conduct. In verse 23, God calls marital infidelity folly and ignorant. Look at it. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly shall he go astray. This is addressed to the unfaithful husband. The husband who doesn't try to be the kind of husband as outlined for us in this passage. It says he's a man who commits folly and a man who is just ignorant. He's going to die without instruction. He's going to die dumb about what he could have been and should have been. If he refuses, God puts it here. There's no reason for him to be dumb and without instruction. God puts it here. But if he won't take it to himself, he's going to die dumb and without instruction, and he will have lived in folly. Verse 21 calls the conduct of such a husband wicked and sinful. His own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. What does it mean that he shall be holden with the cords of his sins? It means that God will let a man who ignores God's plan for the husband in marriage, he will let him fabricate a cord to bind him and enslave him. A cord that is composed of strand after strand, of sin after sin. And he'll let him just keep on winding those sins together, one upon another, as a foolish and wicked and dumb husband, he'll let him bind those sins together until they comprise such a strong cord that holds him as a prisoner, a cord that he cannot break. Sin is the destroyer of sacred marriage. And husbands with sin upon sin, infidelity upon infidelity, crassness upon crassness, insensitivity upon insensitivity, and all the things here that are outlined in this passage, he ignores them. He goes his own way, and he crafts for himself a cord that makes him a prisoner from which he cannot extricate himself. And in the process, he destroys his marriage. This whole passage has to do with faithful love. Or as Dr. Yeagley, in his book, More Like the Master, an excellent book that I hope you will get, calls loyal love. Faithful love or loyal love is disappearing from our society. Why do so many marriages end in divorce? Because faithfulness is no longer a part of people's character very much anymore. And I want you to key in on this. And I want you ladies to listen carefully to this. And I'll tell you why at the end of the message. Faithfulness, when it is missing in character, will be missing in marriage. A man will carry unfaithfulness in other areas of life into his marriage relationship. And he'll be unfaithful to his wife. This whole passage deals with loyalty to one woman. The admonition is to avoid all sexual relationships with all other women. Be loyal to your wife. Drink water out of your own cistern and let it be fresh water. Delight in the children who are the progeny of that marriage. Delight in the relationship God has given you with your wife to be enjoyed within the bonds of marriage. Be faithful in all of that. But if a man's not faithful in his relationship to God, if he doesn't show care in his faithfulness as a man of God, in a Bible-believing church, in the responsibilities of the believer to the Savior, and to his local church, and to the evangelism of the lost, and to the giving of his gifts, if he's not faithful to the Lord in the use of his money and his time, if he's unfaithful in keeping the requirements of the workplace, the responsibility as to his employer, if you cheat in the quality of your work, if you're unfaithful in these little things, there is no reason in the world to think you will be faithful lifelong to your marriage partner. Because faithfulness in marriage is a part of the faithfulness that exists in the character of a man. And if it's not in his character, it won't be in his marriage. I can promise you. We don't compartmentalize our sins. If a person will lie to his employer, if he will lie to his teacher, if he will lie to his parents, he will one day lie to his wife. It's part of his character. He is a lying character. A false character. Character characterized by falsehood. It will show up in every area of his life. Infidelity will show up in every area of a man's life. Proverbs 26 says, a faithful, or meaning trustworthy, a trustworthy man, who can find? A wife is entitled to be able to trust her husband. It is a tragedy of all tragedies when a wife can't trust her husband because his conduct, his behavior is untrustworthy. And no husband can expect the trust of his wife if he doesn't earn it. If he hasn't earned it, he doesn't deserve it. She shouldn't trust him if he has proved himself unfaithful. Lacking in trust. Divorce is the ultimate evidence of disloyal love. Would you turn in your Bibles to Malachi chapter 2? Let's look at this carefully. Let me say again that because the laws of our land permit something, it doesn't mean that that thing it permits is a right thing. Our laws may change to allow for homosexual civil unions or even something that they would call same-sex marriage, which is a myth. It cannot exist. Because God defines what marriage is, and it's between heterosexuals. But our laws may change to make one or both of those things legal. It doesn't make it right. Any more than the laws permitting abortion make the murder of innocent, helpless babies right. Our divorce laws don't make divorce right. God speaks His mind clearly in the Word of God about divorce. Here's one passage. The prophet says to God's people, "Yet ye say, wherefore?" That is, they're saying, "Why is the Lord displeased with us? Wherefore?" "Because the Lord hath been witness between thee and the wife of thy youth, against whom thou hast dealt treacherously," unfaithfully, if you will. "Yet is she thy companion and the wife of thy covenant? Did not he make one? Yet he had the residue of the Spirit. Wherefore one? That he might seek a godly seed, that there might be children from this good home that he could be pleased with. Godly children. Therefore, take heed to your spirit. Let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth. For the Lord, the God of Israel, saith, he hateth putting away." God says, "I hate divorce. For one covereth violence with his garment, saith the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, that you deal no more treacherously. You have wearied the Lord with your word. Yet you say, wherein have we wearied him? When ye say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them, or where is the God of judgment, or God doesn't care." Just because the courts don't care, just because society at large doesn't care about marital infidelity and divorce, doesn't mean God has ceased to care. He still cares. And he still expects the husband to follow his mandate and be faithful to his spouse and to all of his marital responsibilities. He still expects the husband to guard his spirit so that he doesn't become bitter toward his wife, hostile, possessed of harsh words toward her. Guard your spirit, God says here in Malachi, because God doesn't want a deteriorating spirit to lead to divorce. The ultimate indicator of disloyal love is divorce. I feel very sorry for children who have to live lifelong downstream of their parents' divorce. Divorce simply teaches children that trustworthiness is out of style. One or both of the marriage partners were untrustworthy, unfaithful to the other. Proverbs 20, verse 7 says, "The just," that is the man who is righteous in his conduct and his character, "the just man walketh in integrity." He can be trusted. "And blessed are his sons to have such an example." Blessed are the children who have the example of a father who is trustworthy. Because they learn from that father the necessary trustworthiness of character that they take into life and that they take into marriage. Let me sum this up, ladies and gentlemen, by saying that the Bible is very clear here that your walk today, that is your moral character today, again, look at verse 21. Your ways, as it is translated here in our English Bible, your moral character . The paths that you are taking in life, are not only known to God, they're known to you. They may not be known to your brother, your sister, your father, your mother. They're known to you. You and God know what your character is, your ways. And your character will determine the path that you take. Bad character takes a bad path of life, a path of degradation, a path of shame, a path of ruin. It is not the path that makes the man bad. It is the bad man that makes the bad path. That's what the Bible says here very clearly. If unfaithfulness, gentlemen, is part of your moral character now, it will be part of your marriage path. You'll take your bad character, your unfaithfulness in all things, your carelessness about little things. Doesn't matter if I'm on time. Doesn't matter if I'm faithful in keeping my payments to the bank. It doesn't matter whether I meet the obligations that are expected of me or not. Bad moral character, unfaithfulness, is rotten moral character, is a part of rotten moral character. And you're going to take that into your marriage with you. Marriage is not going to change that rotten aspect of your character. You'll take it into marriage, and one day you will be unfaithful to your wife if God doesn't get hold of your heart and ransack your inner being and bring you to repentance and to a remaking of your character. A man who walks today in some unfaithful paths is capable of walking in all or any unfaithful paths. And I hope you girls are listening. You are totally deluded if you think that boy you're interested in and spending a lot of time with, who doesn't keep his commitments now, who is slothful and careless in doing what is expected and required of him, who breaks rules and doesn't care about it, laughs about it, by what he's getting away with. A boy who is not punctual, a boy who is not dutiful in his work requirements, a boy who doesn't pay his bills and meet his financial obligations, a boy who's careless about his Christian obligations at all levels, including his church responsibilities, is not going to change when he marries you. He'll just pull you down with him and destroy you. If you find yourself becoming romantically interested in such a guy, extricate yourself with all haste and be thankful that God put this passage in His Word and caused it to come to your attention today. How does your love interest measure up in inglorious, small responsibilities, ladies? Let me read you something. Let it never be forgotten that glamour is not greatness. Applause is not fame. Prominence is not eminence. The man of the hour is not apt to be the man of the ages. And that ought to scare every society president, every student body leader, every inter-society leader, anybody who has any responsibility in this student body. You can be the exception of that, but the norm is that the man of the hour is not apt to be the man of the ages, the one who endures. A stone may sparkle, but that does not make it a diamond. People may have money, but that does not make them a success. It is what the unimportant people do that really counts and determines the course of history. The greatest forces in the universe are not spectacular. Summer showers are more effective than hurricanes, but they get no publicity. The world would soon die except for the fidelity, loyalty, and consecration of those whose names are unhonored and unsung. What a great statement. And I say to you in closing, Christian men who are committed to making your marriage work the Bible way, the way God intended, are perhaps unsung heroes, but they're certainly worthy of their wife's praise all of her life long. Because they're rare in the earth and getting increasingly hard to find. And I pray there's not a young man here that will not in your heart say, by the grace of God, I will be that kind of a husband. And by the grace of God, I will take a check of my life today. And if I am unfaithful and careless, if I am lacking in fidelity to what is required to me at the mundane points of contact in my life, if I take a cavalier attitude that doing what is expected of me and keeping my responsibilities and fulfilling my obligations, if I take an attitude, it really doesn't matter, then I am on a doomed course and will one day destroy the happiness and the joys of that girl who has given me her love and her heart. And I will destroy my children and so many others in my pathway by being unfaithful in my marriage. I hope that God the Holy Spirit will bring many men in this room up short today. And make you very ashamed of yourselves and your lack of fidelity to the Lord and to those that the Lord has put into your life to be shapers of your character. If you don't, you're going to one day step all over the heart of that girl that you say you dearly love and have given yourself to with promise that will not be kept. Let's stand and be dismissed in prayer. Lord, it is never too late for any of us to take heed to your word and to take heed to our ways, that you might reclaim us and that you might restore us and remake us. Lord, you know the concern of my heart for the future marriages of so many in this room. Their success or failure, Lord, is being made today in the character of the men and women in this room, particularly of the men, for you have addressed this passage to us. Lord, these young men don't realize it, but their marriage future has everything to do with today's character. So, dear God, I pray you'd give them the honesty to address it. In Jesus' name, amen.
May God give us men to recognize the sacredness of the marriage relationship and to be willing to take the steps necessary to let God make our marriage successful and a testimony before the world. Today's message by the president of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Jones III, was delivered recently on the university campus. We invite you to join us again next week for another half hour of Bible-centered preaching on Chapel Echoes, an outreach ministry of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.